Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer from Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, we had a second preseason game against Seattle. The Bears rolled into town, and they took advantage of a team that was traveling too much and had a short week, even though they were doing the same thing. Kind of rolled all over the field with them, got away with a victory.
The 2-0 Chicago Bears, that just says it has a nice ring to it. It's practice. I mean, it's still fun. It's, you know, I'd much rather talk about a win than a loss, even if it's a practice game. So I'm good with it. It's a nice win for those guys. I think the culture is starting to be established. And, you know, like we said, practice games, preseason game doesn't really matter, but it matters for those players. It matters for those coaches. You know, they're going through the motions, doing what they have to do, getting ready for the season. So it's a good thing to get a dub.
Yeah, I think that, you know, someone brought up, you know, the Lions season where they didn't win a game. They were undefeated in the preseason. Like, I mean, yes, we realize that preseason results don't matter. And we've even talked about how much we're not really sure that the win-loss record is what we need to keep in mind too much in this regular season. It's more about the product on the field and, you know, young guys developing and all that. But I think there is elements, and I think we'll get into this in the show a little bit. There's elements of what this new regime is bringing that really benefits in a preseason game, because you had the roster from top to bottom playing hard and swarming the football on defense. But all three phases look disciplined. They look like they knew their assignments. They're ready to play. Again, certainly some blown coverages and things like that. I mean, there was mix-ups, but overall the effort was there, and where both sides were dealing with the exact same thing. They're dealing with a short week. They're dealing with travel. They're dealing with guys that, you know, are going to be starters that aren't playing. The Bears just look like a much more talented roster.
These teams are in similar spots. The Seahawks and the Bears both going through a bit of a rebuild or a reset, whatever you want to call it. But the Bears did look like a much better football team from top to bottom, and that's good to see. That's testament to the coaching, testament to the general manager and the scouts. And, you know, it's a, like you said, it's a good try hard competing bunch, and it shows through the whole roster.
Well, let's get into our categories. We start off every episode of Bear and Balance in the Trenches, and big announcement for us is that the Trench Tribute this year, we are partnering with our friends at Portillo's. Unbelievably cool to be able to partner with one of our favorite restaurants. Lester and I actually ate at Portillo's after the training camp practice that we went to. We should have taken a picture, but we weren't sure that this partnership was going to go through. It's
still in the works,
but it came through. We're really excited to partner with them. $100 gift card every week. So no joke.
That's two grand. A lot of beef.
You joke that like you're glad that I have the gift cards, which is good because there's not one in town. You know, I don't have a Portillo's in town. So Portillo's, by the way, Des Moines is a really good market. You should probably come here. But I don't have a Portillo's in town, so I have to travel to there, which I actually am today. I'm going to have some Portillo's later today because I have to travel today. But we have a $100 gift card that we're going to give away after every episode this year, so every game. And we're going to do it during this segment. So the Portillo's Trench Tribute, because, you know, the beef. This was your idea to use this segment to give it away. And what you're going to do, if you want to participate, if you want a chance to win one of these gift cards, is like and subscribe, you know, wherever you're getting this stuff. Make sure that you're hooked in to our network. If you're on Twitter, make sure you're following us and you're liking these tweets. And if you're on YouTube, we'd love you to subscribe to the YouTube. If you're on Facebook, make sure you're subscribed to that. You know, wherever you're getting your Bear and Balanced, make sure that you're subbed there, you're following there, whatever. Like the tweet that we're going to put out for the Portillo's Trench Tribute, and then give us your Trench Tribute of the Week. And if you don't want to give a lineman, you can give a Player of the Week. That's fine, too. But give us who you thought really stood out to you in the game. And then a couple days later, we will draw for that winner for that week. We'll contact you and we'll send you the gift card.
Exactly. So like it wherever you're watching the video, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, or for you guys on Windy City Gridiron, we always like to watch the show on the embed. Just leave us a comment there, and that'll get you guys, you know, in the contest too. And then for our podcast people, same thing. If you're listening to the pod, because we're going to share this as a podcast on Twitter and Facebook as well, give us a like on either the show on the podcast for Twitter or Facebook, and all those places you have a chance to enter. And then in a few days, we'll do a random number draw. We'll pick a number, pick a winner, and then we'll announce it through social media. And then, of course, we'll announce it again on the on next week's episode. So $100, man.
Yeah, I mean,
beef, hot dogs,
it's a lot of beef. Shakes.
Oh, I'm ready.
It's mini trips through the drive-through, or yes. It's like, you know, hey guys, I got it tonight, right? Like you're going to a party and you're gonna pick up the tab. Either way, $100 at Portillo is gonna go a long way. So, very excited to do that. So the actual category for us, your answer. I'll start off. I actually thought that you could go a lot of different ways, but I was to me it was a lot of different ways on the defensive line this week.
Okay.
And so for me, I'm gonna shout out your boy, Sam Kamara.
Ah,
I thought he was constantly showing good pressures. Now Bears were able to pin their ears back and rush the passer a lot in the second half, which is when he was playing most of his snaps. But he looks good. Like he looks like he's got a chance to make the roster, or at least, you know, be retained in a practice squad type situation. He comes off the line pretty quick. He's got some juice. He managed to get a sack right there at the end, you know, converging in the backfield there. I think it was a deep drop by that backup quarterback, but still, like, you know, you'll take it. but I thought that in camp, you pointed Kamara out as a guy that you really liked. And so when he started popping, I was like, oh, Lester's guy, right? So the second half, I found myself continuing to watch Kamara, and I thought he deserved the trench tribute this week.
He has had an interesting start to his NFL career. He was a defensive tackle at Stony Brook, okay? Who the hell's heard of that college? No one's heard of it. And then he comes to the Bears, and as a defensive tackle, what is he now in Chicago? Oh, now you're going to be a 3-4 outside linebacker. So he had a big conversion, you know, last year at the old regime. And then when the Bears made the transition to a 4-3, I wasn't sure if he was going to be an edge at defensive end or you know, go back to D tackle, maybe as three tech, but you know, he put the time in to kind of change his body, become an edge, and that's where he's been. And he's still a bubble guy. I mean, he may not make the roster, but I think he has a chance to stick around in some capacity, whether it is at the end of the roster or on the practice squad. And I just like him. He's a good player that seems to always show up and hustle. I think he's a good fit for the this philosophy, because like I said, the hustle's there. He's always going all out. So, yeah, I like Kamara. I think he's a good football player.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he can stick. But he certainly did himself some favors in this last game. So, what about you?
For me, I'm going to go with old reliable Cody Whitehair, who, you know, there's a lot of talk that he was going to get cut. You know, when the new coaching staff came in, the new GM came in. And I just never saw it, because cutting him at the point, there was no benefit to the cap. So if you don't have a benefit to your bottom dollar, why cut a guy, especially when he's still able to be a starter? And that's exactly what's happened. He's still a starter for this team. You know, he seems energized with what's going on in Chicago. He talked about it. You know, I think he likes this new staff. I think he likes the new regime. And, you know, maybe he was just worn out from the Nagy stuff. I'm just speculating here, but it's possible. I mean, because he did not have a very good year last year. You know, you got to be right mentally and physically. There was something off with him last year. So far in preseason, he's been good. And I actually had a chance to go back and watch the tape this week. And I graded three different Bears. This is one of them. Only 9 snaps. So take this for what it's worth. Plus 9, 100%. He did his job in every play. You know, there wasn't a lot going on, but he looks like he's going to be that good veteran presence. Plus, man, Cody Whitehair is taking on the mentorship role too. We saw it in camp. He's done it with Zach Thomas, the rookie. He's done it with Braxton Jones, who's lining up, you know, right next to him at left tackle. So trench tribute. This is my first ever Portillo's trench tribute.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's almost like we had the chatter in the off season about Cody Whitehair, and then we haven't really had to talk about him yet.
That's good.
Which is good. That's what you want, right? Like, he's like, oh, you just plug him in and that's what you want. I mean, my theory is that he was fighting something that wasn't disclosed last year, you know, some kind of nagging injury that could sort of sapped him a little bit. I also think that, you know, it is tough in a, well, in a in the Nagy environment, I'm sure it was tough. But I also think when you have when you're not working well with the guys next to you, that can be part of an issue as a especially as a guard, right? Like if you have a center or a tackle that, you know, you're not working well with in concert, I think that can definitely impact. And that's I think we'll get into a little bit here, but you know, that idea of an offensive line figuring out who needs to be on the field and then getting them on the field and then letting them gel and work together. Cause a lot of it's feel, you know, it's a lot of it's like, okay, I feel good enough to leave this block so that I can peel off to the next level. Cause I think this guy has them handled. There was a lot of combo blocks last year that Whitehair was involved with that felt like he stayed on a little bit too long and didn't peel off into the next level and let linebacker would come in and make a play. And is that Cody Whitehair's fault? I mean, I don't know. You have to secure that first block first, because if you come off too early and that defensive tackle then just slips by the guy that, you know, just splits off and makes a play in the backfield, that's worse, right? So there were a lot of plays that he was involved with last year that I felt like just looked like a comfort level wasn't there with who he was blocking with. And then I do think that maybe he was just dealing with something. So hopefully he can come back to form, because he's a good lineman. I mean, he has shown that he can be a very high quality starter in this league. So hopefully he's back to that.
Agreed.
All right. Tweet of the week. I went back. I wanted to tee us up for a conversation. So I went back to a one Mr. at Wilfong JR. Yeah, you made it. You made it. So Lester, I knew that. So we have had this conversation repeatedly. We've had it on this show. We've had it off air. We've had it in emails. We've had it in text messages, right? Like we've had this conversation a lot. But I went back and I found a tweet of yours from March 1st. Says Bears GM Ryan Poles said it's too early to determine where Tevin Jenkins ends up playing. He also said he believes they'll play their best five along the O-line. That last line is important. June 14th. Also from Lester. Bears head coach Matt Eberflus said that everything is on the table to get their best five O-linemen on the field. His answer was prompted from a question asking if Tevin Jenkins could be moved to right guard. August 16th, the Bears intend to play their best five on offensive line, and if Jenkins is ready and healthy, I can't see him not being one of those five. This is something that you and I have talked about. Yeah. And you have been loud and clear that if the Bears are committed to getting their best five offensive linemen on the field, Tevin Jenkins is one of those best five. It sure looks like Tevin Jenkins is going to be the starting right guard for this football team.
I mean, he was a tackle all offseason. There was no talk about him playing guard at all. I mean, they seemed committed to him at tackle at that point in the offseason. You know, for whatever reason, something happened. You know, no one knows what happened there. I was listening to the Bears post game with our guy Robert Schmitz, and he speculated that maybe there was something internally where he just didn't want to be a guard. This is something he was speculating on the show, and when I heard it, I'm like, you know what, I was thinking kind of the same thing, but I'm like, nah, no one else probably thinks that. When he said it out loud and I heard it, I'm like, man, maybe there's something to that. Maybe he just has to work through the team saying, hey, we don't want you to do this, we want you to do this. And to him, that's like, in his mind, is a demotion. In his mind, that's a slight on his ability as a tackle. So again, just speculation. Maybe that took place. You know, maybe he had to work through some stuff. And, you know, it's a different game there. And I think we even talked about him last year when the Bears picked him. I have no problem with if you were to say to tackle. I think he has tackle skills. Okay. But he also has guard skills. I mean, it's some guys is not a good fit. Some guys you can't. A lot of times you're hearing the draft, oh, if he sucks at tackle, move him to guard. That's not always the case. It's different. Guard's a different position. Things happen differently. The angles are differently. You know, it's a little different to movement skills you have inside there. So Jenkins going inside the guard in his mind, thinking, man, that's a demotion. You know, in the long run, tackles get paid a little more. If you can be a great guard, let's see what happens here. And I think Tevin Jenkins has a chance here now because he's just too good. He's too good of a football player.
Well, we just got done talking about Cody Whitehair. Cody Whitehair was a tackle in college and then got moved inside. Cody Whitehair has shorter arms. He doesn't have the length to be an offensive tackle in this league. Now, you look at Tevin Jenkins and you think, well, this guy's gigantic. You know, he clearly fits all the size requirements. He actually does have a little bit of shorter. He's on the shorter side of short arms, right? And so if you have a philosophy where you believe that you need that length, which a guy like Braxton Jones brings you, right? Like, I think Braxton Jones's arms are a couple inches longer than Tevin Jenkins, right? So if that's a philosophy that you have from, you know, a scouting principle that you're bringing down and you're pushing into your roster, you know, you come in and you see this Tevin Jenkins and you say, well, I had him as guard. And there were plenty of people that did, right? There are plenty of people that said, yeah, he looks like a good prospect, but he's a guard. Now, in terms of the play, I would assume that there are certainly some people that listen to this podcast that played offensive line. I would assume that most people don't, right? I don't think we're all offensive line in our audience. I played, you know, along the offensive line. I played all of those positions. I was better at some than others, but that there are to me, and I've probably said this a few times on different places, but to me, playing tackle is about negotiating the space and being able to feel comfortable handling the space between you and the defender, particularly in the pass pro, but also even in the run game, trying to find that block. When you play guard, it's on you fast. Like you are instantly engaged in the block, and you have to deal more with strength and leverage and anchoring down and just constantly. In some ways it's a more physical position because you're constantly, it's a very quick hitting position. I as someone who played more, felt more comfortable at guard, I'll put it that way. I hate it when people say it's a demotion. It's a different position. Maybe it's not as highly compensated, and maybe that's part of the thinking here for long term, but you can still make a lot of money playing guard in the National Football League. And if you are best suited and you trust your coaching and you go out and you destroy at guard, you can make a career for yourself. If you go out at tackle and you're just not really quite suited for it and you're washed out of the league because you insisted on trying to play a position that maybe you're not best suited for. I'm not saying that I know Tevin Jenkins is or isn't best suited for that, but if you do that, you might be washed out of the league and you might not have a second contract. Like you know, if you could be the best at something or be okay at a different position, maybe be the best, right? And if that's what this, you know, general manager and this coaching staff believe, then great. Maybe he's in the right position. Maybe he's buying in. Maybe he's getting that taste for football again and he wants to be on the field. Right guard could be a really fun spot to watch Tevin Jenkins' career.
I'm excited for him. Like we talk about all the time. Wherever you put him, leave him the hell alone. I hope this is where he ends up forever. I think it's a good fit for him, especially considering how the Bears' current roster is constructed. I mean, they seem to have enough guys at tackle they're comfortable with the veteran Riley Reiff coming in now, whether he starts or he's the swing guy, he has experience. Borum, whether he starts or he's the swing guy. You know, I think Jenkins at right guard is a great path for him to start, and I think if that's the case, I think O-line is coming together. They still got some problems. They got to work as a unit, but having that guy out there, that talent out there is a good, it's a plus for this Bears team.
Absolutely. What did you have for your tweet?
You know, we always have somewhere along the show where we're really in sync, and this is one of them. So my tweet of the week is from JD Brown. He is at JD Brown Writes, and he tweets out things I can't wait for the weekend, the NFL season to start, and grades on Tevin Jenkins from at Wiltfong Jr. I'm like, oh, so he's calling me out. So now I have to go back and grade him. I was going to do it anyway. But you know, I had some train issues on Thursday. So I didn't get a chance to watch the game like I wanted to. So a lot of my stuff got pushed back. So I found the time. I did go through and grade him. Like I graded Cody White here. I said only 9 plays. He had 100%. I did grade Tevin Jenkins as well. He had 23 snaps, a little more work there. I had him at plus 19, minus 4, for those that like the math, that's 82.6%. It's a good grade for Tevin Jenkins. Some of my notes on him is better in the run game, which is to be expected. That's what he was known for coming out of college. The thing about pass blocking from guard, when you're used to being a tackle, it's a different setup. It's different angles. You're worrying about the stunts in a different way. It's going to take him some time to understand pass pro at guard.
Yep.
As fans, give him time to learn and grow there. If that's where he's going to be, I think it's I think this coaching staff wants him there. So it's going to take some time. You know, when you're at tackle, thing, you're on an island more often than not. You know where your edge pressure is coming. You got it. When you're at guard, it's a little different. You know, but the coaching staff talks about they like Jenkins' football IQ. They think he can make the transition to guard. They've talked about it. So I think he'll be fine eventually. But he's going to have some growing pains. You know, it's just stuff going to happen. If Bears fans remember back to Kyle Long, the great Kyle Long guard to tackle experience, when he played right tackle, his first half of that season being a tackle, he was terrible. As that season wore on, Kyle Long's, he was much improved as a tackle that season. You know, I think it was the Packers game. I actually went and graded those two, that Kyle Long year. The first game was, I think, week one against the Packers. He was awful. The next time he played the Packers later in the season, he was really good. So it's going to take some time, but I think it's a good fit for him. And again, like I said, I'm excited to see how this line comes together with him now as a guard.
Yeah, I went back and watched him, and I'm curious to see if we will see an evolution in his technique, even in the run game, because it looked like he was I'd like to see him engage in a block and try to drive for a little longer, like really latch on and try to move his, he can move his man, right?
He can.
But he's kind of instantly getting that punch and push right away, as opposed to like latch on, steer that guy for a few steps and then try to finish. And so that's, to me, that's just what I saw as something that jumped out, like, okay, he's just, you know, he's trying to basically push his guy from the start. And maybe that's the technique that they're teaching. I mean, I got, you know, I'm going to claim ignorance that I don't know exactly what they're going for, but generally when I think of a guard, I'm thinking of a guy that's, he's looking to latch on to that shoulder pad right here. And so that he can then steer that guy, you know, put his body in between the defender and the running back, you know, move him a few steps off, you know, whatever. But when I watched him, it looked like he was kind of like, I'm going to just bench press you into, you know, out of the play if I can, which felt a little bit more like a tackle. I don't know. It was just like, I'm curious to see if this technique improves, or because I think that's the fun part about playing in the interior, is when you latch on and you can really drive in. And he's going to, when he figures that out, he's going to love it, because that's where you start getting pancakes. You know, that's when you start figuring out that you can, when you have the right technique and you start driving, you can start moving piles. And this is a guy that can do that. You like watching Quentin Nelson for the Colts and guard highlights? Tevin Jenkins could put some guard highlights out there once he starts realizing that that's how you get them. So I'm excited to see if his technique improves throughout the year. Let's move on to stats. Caught up in a numbers game. My stat of the week is 8. That is the number of penalties over the first two games, preseason games for the Bears. Last year, I think they had something like 19 penalties through two games. So again, it's fake. Fake football, you know, whatever you want to say. It's preseason football, it's practice football, whatever. I do think this is emblematic of what of a sea change here. This is a new regime that is emphasizing a philosophy. We've talked about a lot, this HITS philosophy, and that S stands for playing smart. And I think part of that is reduction of number of penalties. And you're seeing, I mean, these are guys that are, you know, the 78th guy on the roster, right? That is out there getting snaps in the second preseason game. These guys aren't going to be around during the regular season, but yet they're still playing some pretty disciplined football. They're swarming to the football. They're out there. The takeaways have continued to clearly be an emphasis here. They're going after the football. But I was really impressed with how much cleaner they were than their opponent. And if that's something that can translate into the regular season, that is going to keep the Bears in a lot of games, because they're playing hard and they're playing smart.
You know, that was my number last week. I had the penalties number 5. This week, 3. So it's I think there were 2 more that were declined. They don't count, you know. So like you said, it's the HITS philosophy permeating through the entire locker room. They're all bought into this. They all understand it's disciplined football. And it's, we didn't always see that the last few years. You know, it's cool to see that how quickly they're starting to come around. But I guess if you think about it, the last time the Bears had a philosophy like this, you know, in the building was in the Lovie Smith era. And we saw how quickly some of that mentality left them the next year when Mark Trestman took over. You know, I always think back to that football on the ground. And it's like, you know, it just sat there until the Packers picked it up and ran it in. It's like,
yeah,
that never would have happened in Lovie Smith, Rod Manelli, in that era. Never would have happened. It happened in Trestman's era. This is something that Coach Matt Eberflus, Alan Williams, his entire staff, they all drill this into their head. The ball's in the ground, pick it up. Punch at the ball. Takeaways, turnovers, you know, always hustling. And I think it's going to be again, the wins may not be there this season, but it's going to be fun to watch this group really just compete.
Yeah, it's going to keep them in games. Yep. I think it's going to keep them competitive. It's going to be entertaining. They're going to be a fun team to root for because they're playing hard and they're playing smart. And I think that's a way to win the fan base over with a roster that may not be ready to compete at a high level from a talent standpoint, but if you have the right philosophy. And I think it's one of those, like, you can only major in one, maybe two things in college, right? Like, you know, you can't have 16 majors across campus and take 38 classes. There's only so many things that you can emphasize to a football team. And if this is your philosophy, this is what you're emphasizing, this is what it translates onto the field. I don't know if that translates to championships, but it translates into good, clean football that keeps you competitive in football games throughout the season, even if your talent's not there. That's Lovie Smith was, you know, like you said, they were in a lot of games that they wouldn't be otherwise, right? Or they would win games because they were winning the turnover battle. It's a good philosophy. I mean, I think it's easy for Bears fans to understand it. And it kind of fits with what I think Bears football has been, you know, historically for most of our lifetimes. But what did you have for your stat this week?
My number this week is the number 32. And that is the Seahawks didn't score in the game until there's only 32 seconds left on the clock. That's mostly first team Bears defense, second team Bears defense. The Seahawks played their starters a little bit more than the Bears did, but the defense is playing good. And we just talked about a little bit is it's that hustle. It's that intensity. It's that they're playing with. And I actually saw this stat on the Bears team site. You know, the Chicago starting defense, two series, both three and outs. But then this is the part I saw is Seattle's first 10 possessions. The Bears held them to 6-3 and outs again.
Oh, wow.
Defense is back in Chicago. And it's hustle. It's intensity. It's cool to see. And again, it's going to be a fun to watch this group on defense come together.
Yeah, I think this was just the first half. This might have been Geno Smith snaps. Three and out, punt, missed field goal, punt, three and out.
Yeah,
I mean that's and that again they kept Geno Smith in, who is playing for the starting job. And they go, well, they didn't have their starting quarterback. He might be their starting quarterback. Drew Locke is the other guy. It's not like Drew Locke is this obvious upgrade from Geno Smith. So
they're starting again, the starting O-line was in quite a bit too for Seattle.
Yeah. This is a team that's going to not be very good, but
no,
who cares? Like it's, you know, it was good results. They got off the field. How many times last year did they, you know, just give up these long drives? Let's talk about Justin Fields. Very short outing for him. Just had the one drive, 5 for 7, 39 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Led the first team offense to a field goal, and then his night was done. Really, I'd say the one, you know, well, you know, he kind of tried to scramble for a yard, looked pretty awkward, kind of ran into the back of his offensive lineman. It looked like he might have bailed pretty early, but also just kind of a weird scramble that was maybe a little odd. And then he had a kind of a rollout where he set up and then he fired a missile into the back corner of the end zone that was incomplete. He had, I think it was Equanimeous St. Brown sitting there for a first down, could have extended the drive. It was a second down and 4, I think, at the time inside the red zone. Could have just picked up the first down, kept the chains moving, decided to go for the big throw. It was incomplete. Then they did not pick up the first down on third and kicked a field goal. So if you're being nitpicky because you only have a small sample size, take the first down, move the chains, you know, give yourself a fresh set of downs. He went for the big play and it didn't work.
I thought he played okay. Again, there's some things he has to clean up. You know, he's still working through a new offense himself. He's seeing, you know, a live defense here just for the second time. So it's coming there. You know, my big takeaway from this Justin Fields through first 2 weeks is you see his scheme fit with what the Bears are doing. You see how he fits into the scheme. You see what they're trying to do with these, with the bootlegs, the play action. You kind of see that happening. I like the flow we're getting of play calls, not only for Justin Fields, but for all the quarterbacks. It's just it's vanilla, but it's still different. It's hard to explain. It's just, there's a rhyme and a reason to what they're doing now.
Yeah, it's just preseason.
It's a system. It's just preseason, but you see, okay, this play is being run. Oh, it's because it's setting up this play. This play looks just like this play. It's cohesive and it's beautiful as a guy that enjoys offensive football.
Again, the last guy had a collection of plays that he liked. This is an actual philosophy that's built on the shoulders of giants, right? This is an offensive philosophy that takes actual football theory and builds on itself. The run game works with the pass game, which is mended by that play action, right? That is what I have been asking for for years. Like, if you've been listening to anything that I've been on, that is what I've been really trying to push. This idea that everything works together as opposed to separation, right? You know, again, when the last guy said, I'm firing this guy because the run game didn't work, and that guy was responsible for the run game, I thought, no, you're responsible for the offense. Yeah. And the offense includes the run game. They're not separate. They work together. They complement each other. And that's what I think you're going to see more than anything this year, is you're going to see an actual philosophy where those run game, play action passes and the pass game all work together under the same philosophy. And I think that the best play was probably that play action bootleg out to the left, which for a right-handed quarterback, right, is a little bit harder because he's got to find a way to set his feet. He sets his feet and he fires a strike and an intermediate route to Cole Kmet. It's a really nice play. It's a really nice play design. And here you are, Cole Kmet, right? I mean, he's going to be put in a position to succeed this year. He's going to be, I think he's going to be the number two option in this offense. I think he's going to have a nice number of targets and catches. And statistically, I think he's going to be set up for success here. But that's a philosophy play, right? I mean, as much as it is physical play for Justin Fields to get out, set his feet, fire a good pass for Cole Kmet to run the right route to make the catch, do a little after the catch. All of that is true, but that is a scheme and philosophy success right there.
That play is also one of the few plays that Dan Orlovsky was nice about the Bears. You know, it was one of the few plays he talked about. You know, it's the rollout happened, and Justin Fields had the awareness to know that, hey, I got no one around me. I can't flip my hips and get set and throw a perfect ball here. And it was a great play. So yeah, I mean, it's, he has some stuff to clean up, but work in progress. He'll get there.
All right. We'll take a quick break on the other side of this. We will get into everybody's favorite category, the Three Bears.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All right, Lester, we're back. So let's talk the Three Bears. So hot bowl of porridge, cold bowl of porridge, and the just right. So let's start with the hot bowl of porridge. I'll go first. I'm gonna give it to Darrington Evans, the running back. 8 carries, 39 yards. That is a 4.9 yard average. He had a touchdown. every run that he had was a hard-nosed run. Like, he looked like he was really got a shot out of a cannon, was really carrying tacklers with him, thought he played really well. I was not impressed with him at his week one carries. And so this was a nice bounce back for him. I thought there was a couple of examples of guys that had some bounce back performances, maybe underwhelmed a little bit in the first game, looked better in the second game. But I thought he had the best bounce back for me. I thought he looked pretty good. I don't know if he'll make the roster because I don't think there's enough room. But I think that he definitely put on a show there. A nice night out of Darrington Evans.
He was a sneaky signing when the Bears got him. It was after the season ended. I think they might have actually got him through waivers because it was still really early in the offseason. He just didn't have a chance to shine in Tennessee, obviously, because, you know, they have a pretty good stable of running backs. Plus, you know, I think he had some injuries. But, you know, he's a 4.4 guy. You know, he's got good speed. You know, he's a good build for the position. Like you said, he may not make the roster, but I think he's a guy that has to stick around on the practice squad for sure. He just brings a nice element, a nice change of pace, and we'll see what he does in the pass pro. We talk about all the time, the running backs that are your reserves, they have to pick up the blitz. They have to know where that's coming from. And we saw it again this last game. There was some issues back there, and that's one of the things about David Montgomery's game that's not talked about a lot. He's a good blocker. He understands what's happening in the pass game. He understands the big picture, and that's what you need in a tailback. And that's why David Montgomery, a lot of fans are ready to, you know, oh, his carries are going to be cut a lot this year. I don't know. If Khalil Herbert, Trenton Gill, or Evans, if they're not understanding the blitz pickups, you know, they're not going to put them out there.
I mean, I am the biggest Trenton Gill fan that this team has to offer. I don't think he's going to be out there in pass pro. I think Tristan Ebner might be, but I don't think the punter is going to be.
Oh, what the hell did I say?
Hey, everybody, it's early in the morning. We're giving Lester a pass, but I'm telling you guys right now, the punter is not going to get any carries in this offense.
He has a pretty big guy. He's like, what, 6'4", 220? Come on. Let's see what he can do out there.
Listen, can we let's burn this now. I got a nickname for him.
Okay.
He's going to be the guillotine. It's great, right?
It's great
because he's dropping it. He's dropping it. He's cutting off drives before they begin, right? Anyway, I love it. There's something there about the punter. We're going to call him the guillotine. But no, I get what you're saying. I've seen the backup running backs have some pass pro issues, and it reminds me a little bit of that infamous Mark Trestman quote where they asked, what's the most important thing for a running back? And he said, pass pro, which, like, that's not what people wanted to hear. But it's one of those things where running back has to understand pass pro before they can get on the field. He didn't answer it probably in the right way, but that's reminded me of that quote too. But yes, I think that needs to be cleaned up for some of these guys before they see more snaps. And David Montgomery is very good at that. So what about you? Who had your hot bowl of porridge?
All right. This is a reach. I'm going to admit it right on top here, but I wanted somewhere for us to talk about Cole Kmet in this whole thing. And
okay.
Just 7 reps for the big tight end. 2 catches, 31 yards. We saw them scheme up that screen look for him early. He made a guy miss. He powered through and he picked up a few extra yards because of his size. You talk about that play, the route where he came across and on the play action, and he made the nice catch from Justin Fields. He didn't have a lot of running blocks for me to kind of look at, but the few that he did, he was okay in. I just think we see a little bit of a quick snapshot of how he'll be using this offense, you know, play action stuff, you know, get him loose on some screens. You know, he is a big body target. He was good down the seam in college. Bears didn't use him that way. So, you know, these play action rosteries coming across, they'll set up the stuff where he'll come across and now he'll kick up the seam depending on the coverage. So I just wanted to talk about Cole Kmet a little bit. Like I said, I know it's a reach, just 7 snaps, giving the hot bowl of porridge to him. But for what he did, I thought he had a nice game.
Yeah, suddenly this podcast has become a Cole Kmet stan podcast.
And I apologize.
Very much like shocked by that revelation because this is not somebody that I wasn't instantly in his corner by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not a hater. I mean, I was like, let's give this time. Plenty of people in our circle are like, this guy's not going to make it. He's not going to be worth anything. And I'm like, we're talking about tight end, right? Tight end's that position that takes a few years for guys to figure out and actually produce, tight end, right? That's what he plays. And so I just want more. I just want more data, right?
Yeah.
This is the year for Cole Kmet, right? I mean, if it's going to happen, he's going to show it this year. And when you're at camp and when you're watching him in the preseason, it looks like it's going to happen. I mean, that's to me. So I'm there thinking like I'm in his camp. I think it's going to happen. It still might not. There's no guarantees in this world, but I think that he's put himself in a position, and this offense has clearly prioritized him. That I think that if I was going to bet, I put my chips on Cole Kmet. There's your bumper sticker.
There it is.
You're going to place a bet, put him on Cole Kmet.
You know, especially for the guys that do fantasy football, I think he's in for a nice year. The touchdowns, he'll have more than zero. You know, I don't do many guarantees, but this is one I'm pretty confident putting out there. Cole Kmet will have more than zero touchdowns this year.
All right. I love it. turn it around, cold bullet points. Now, again, Bears did quite well. I have an answer that I really want to give. I'm going to give cold bowls of porridge to everybody on the ESPN crew because, like, what is this? It's like that they wrote out their script before the game started that
exactly.
The Bears were terrible. And then the Bears started actually doing better on the field than the Seahawks. And it just was like, how do we explain this? And I don't know the story of Louis Riddick, is that his name, right? I don't know his story exactly I know he has, maybe he has GM aspirations, maybe he doesn't. I know there was some ties to potentially bringing him, a lot of Bears fans wanted him to come to Chicago. Maybe he believed that was something that could have been in his future. I think he was maybe close with Matt Nagy. Maybe he didn't like the Matt Nagy situation and how it played out in Chicago. I don't really know. I don't know him that well, his story, whatever. But man, it felt like he was a jilted lover or whatever, whatever that he just everything is coming out. You know, Dan Orlovsky, I just don't know what he is. But I don't think he's a booth guy. He didn't seem very prepared. And honestly, even Steve Levy, like, you're a pro. You should be able to pronounce Nathan Peterman's name and not, Nathan Peterson. You should know that it's Justin Fields and not Josh Fields, right? Like, I don't understand these guys. Like, did they just not prep? Like, what happened here? So I'm going to give them the cold bowl of porridge. If you want it to be a player, I think you got to probably give it to the Jones, the corner, number 35. Looked like he got roasted a little bit, just out of did not provide very good coverage, but I also want to give him credit. Like he kept getting targeted and he bounced back and made a couple plays and, you know, had that goldfish mentality, as they say, like have no memory and come back and fight the next rep. So I don't actually want to serve him a cold bowl of porridge either. I thought that I give him compliments for bouncing back and trying hard. So to me, ESPN crew gets the cold bowl.
I knew, I had a feeling you're going to go that way. And if you haven't read it yet, Greg Gabriel, former Bears scout, worked for the Giants in the league for a long time. He was pretty pissed off about the ESPN broadcast too. So he actually wrote an article about it. It's on the site now. Make sure you check that out. It's got a ton of traction. You know, fans seem to really enjoy that because as Bears fans, we all had the same thing. We're watching the game. We're like, what are these guys talking about? You know, Seattle had to travel. Okay.
They're at home. What are we doing?
Short week. What? Yeah. Come on. Let's get out of here with the names. Of course, are getting names wrong. They're just, they kept pushing the narrative that the Bears team is bad, but the Bears team was kicking Seattle's ass the whole game. It's like, what do you do? You know, it was funny. For me, my cold, I had a hard time going through this. I was kind of trying to figure out who it was. And ultimately, I settled on Daz Newsome.
Okay.
The muff on the punt, it was unfortunate. There was some traffic there, you know, but this is 2 weeks now. He had another drop this week. I just think he's not doing himself any favors. As it was, he was a bubble guy, but the way he's been in these last two preseason games, you know, even the touchdown last week, he kind of bobbled, you know. So I think Daz Newsome, he doesn't add much as a special teamer, especially because the Bears seem to be pretty strong in that area as a punt returners. They have a few guys that can do that job. So I think Daz is I would not be surprised if Daz is one of the next cuts when they cut down to 80. just because I don't see any value he adds to the team right now.
I agree with you. And I think it's when you look at him versus the guys that have similar skill sets or bring in similar roles, those guys are doing better, right? Even like a guy like Simba Webster, who's had a little bit more of the up and down, he's put some good ups on. Like, I actually thought about saying him for the hot bowl of porridge. Like, he had some good plays. And so I think that if you're looking at who are you competing with, right? Like, he's not – Daz Newsome isn't competing with – he's a wide receiver. He's not competing with Darnell Mooney, right? He's there to fill a role. And there are guys either with more experience or they're just showing out a little better. And again, the last regime drafted him. This isn't, you know, I know a lot of guys people were excited about him. He's got a fun name, but I don't think that that's it's really going to pan out for him given the performance on the field. I think you're right. He probably could be amongst the next round of cuts. Just right for me. I wanted a place to talk about Velus Jones. He had a 48-yard punt return. He had a 31-yard kick return. They manufactured a touch for him in the pass game. I think that those were the good, right? I think that some of his route running didn't look crisp yet. So curious to see where that goes, because I think we all thought that he would come in with a little bit more of a mature development in his route running. But, you know, we'll see. But I do think that this is a guy that they're going to try to find a way to manufacture touches in the offense in, you know, kind of that 2-3 a game where you want to be able to get the ball in his hand. And then clearly he's going to be a factor in the return game. He's got juice. And so I wanted to make sure that we talked about him, and I thought it was good to just end the just right for a debut for him.
It's perfect, because this is kind of how he'll be used in the regular season. He'll be your returner. They'll manufacture a touch or two for him each week. He'll get some reps as a receiver. And if that 4.3 speed can pop for you one of these times, awesome. You know, but he's a threat out there for sure. And that's a good place for him this week.
What about you?
I'm staying offensive line here.
Okay.
I'm going to go Braxton Jones. Again, just 9 snaps, but I did grade his play out there. And I got him +7, -2 for the math people. That's 77.8. You know, he has some things he has to clean up again. The bull rush got him again this week.
Yeah,
you have to anchor that a little better. You have to sink your hips a little better on that. You got to – it's about the leverage on the bull rush. And he's a guy that will come around to that. He's not a small guy by any means. He has good long arms. He just has to understand when it's coming and set himself for that better. A rookie left tackle, you know, it's very rare. But the Bears clearly are sold on Braxton Jones, because he played only the 9 reps.
Right.
You know, get the hell out of there with the rest of your core starters. You know, some starters played more. The core starters got the hell out of there, and Jones is that guy. And, you know, I looked this up the other day. If he starts week one for the Bears at left tackle, which, unless he's hurt, he's going to start at left tackle for the Bears week one. You know, the last time the Bears started a rookie left tackle was 30 years ago.
30 years ago? 1992? What is that? It's not Stan Thomas, is it? No, he would have been late 90s.
Troy Aziin.
Troy, okay. Yeah, I remember that name.
He was a second-round draft pick at the Bears back then. But he's the last starting rookie left tackle week one for Chicago. So if Braxton Jones can pull it off, and it looks like he will, it's cool for him.
Yeah, okay. Not a very long career for that particular left tackle. So hopefully
3-4 years in Chicago, I believe.
Braxton Jones is okay.
Braxton Jones hopefully can have a little better career in Chicago.
Yeah, I think that was the thing that stood out to me was they were like, okay, the cream rises kind of thing, right? Like, okay, like we got you the one rep or the one series. You're out, you know, go hang out with Cody, right? It's like, oh, okay, right? And you know, 2 of the projected starters didn't play because Lucas Pax was coming back from an injury, of course. And then Riley Reiff, I think they're like, yeah, we know who you are. Like, you're fine. We're not going to put you out there in the preseason. So, you know, if that's your 4 and then you add Tevin Jenkins to that, they haven't really practiced or played yet. It's going to take a little time to gel. But again, what we have been saying is get your best 5 out there. And if that's your best 5, what I've been saying is I just want 5 guys that can play. And I feel like those are 5 guys that can play and they'll figure it out. So week 1 against Nick Bosa, maybe not, right? Like they're going to have some trouble, but Give it time. I have confidence that this unit can come together. So good to close on offensive line, just like we started. So we'll close the podcast here. Reminder about getting in your picks, your Portillo's pick of the week, Trench Tribute. Can be somebody else too if you want. Obviously, you earn brownie points if you pick offensive lineman, defensive lineman with us, but that does not bear on the drawing. Just name somebody that you thought deserved some highlight here for this second preseason game. Wherever you're getting this content, we'll do some random number generation and we'll figure out the winner and be in contact with you for your $100 Portillo's gift card. Make sure you're checking out everything else on the podcast channel. We're going big with YouTube here. We've got some stuff that it's going to be happening. So make sure that you're watching that. That's going to be dominating here in the next few days once we get that squared away. And otherwise, anything else that you want to promote here, Lester?
Nah, just, you know, check out the site. We got a lot of stuff going on, the video channel. I think we're going to tease the video stuff after we cut the pod off. So those of you that are here on the video, stick around. We're going to have a little announcement. I think it's time. I just can't wait anymore. I think we have to get it out there a little bit because it's already on the site. I broke the news, a soft open on the site. So let's, for you video guys who are hanging out with us, you know, once we close the pod out, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about that.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. And we will see you after the third preseason game. And until then, bear down.